Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're talking the 2000 Best Animated Feature winner, Shrek. Yeah, you heard all those words right. It is, you know, just a skosh past its 20th anniversary. Some people are freaking out about it, which means we're 6 months late, which is about average for us. Also, I just want to toss out here, my daughter had never seen this before, so I ended up watching all four of these movies, which is really just, it's something. Oh, I'm tired all the time. Anyway, so thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Also, just tossing this your way, we are kicking off a month of animated features from not Disney as a way to kind of keep our nice breadth of, you know, nonsense going. So thanks for all you do, and bye, guys. Thank you.
This week on Myopia Movies, I don't even know what. What do we do? We enter, we say fuck you to Michael Eisner.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, we watched 2000's Academy Award winner for Best Animated Feature Film, Shrek. I'm Nick Hoffman, Rip Ross, Center Prom, and Doctor of History, for Christ's sake. And on panel we have...
Small-time Atlanta science fiction author and social studies educator Matthew W. Quinn. Worship me.
Hello, this is Daniel. I'm a contributor to PopDose.com. And, you know, I've heard a lot about this movie. Some people say it's good. Some people say it's bad. And some...
But it once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
Oh, she God, was looking kind of dumb with her
fellow. Oh, God damn it. I was just going to do the one line. I don't know what you were doing.
Well, the hits stop coming, and they don't start coming.
Oh, good point.
Back to the rules, and I hit the ground running.
Didn't make sense.
Not to live for fun.
Your brain gets smart, and your head gets dumb.
Here's the thing. I'm 36. I saw this movie when it came out in 2000 because it was
2001, actually, before we get angry emails.
Did it come out in 2001, or is that when it won the Academy Award?
No, I'm pretty sure it came out like
summer.
May 2001.
I saw this in theaters and came. I think I might have taken my little sister to see it. I should probably ask if she remembers.
Well, the way you said it was like I haven't talked to her in years. Oh, dearest Martha, do you remember when we went to Shrek? The ordeal. I saw this at the time. I thought it was fine. And now, 21 years later, then...
oh my God, Shrek's old enough to drink.
You needed to.
This is the horniest, most perverted movie I've ever seen as a kid's movie. Like, honestly, and it doesn't even hide it. The cold open is where the narrator's reading the introduction, and he's taking a huge shit for the audience. And then, you know what he does? He wipes his ass with the story. Welcome to Shrek.
There's a lot of fuck you towards Disney in this movie. A whole bunch of fuck you.
Well, and I...
And does Disney own it at this point?
No, absolutely not. That's the point. So I will doff my cap here to Disremembered's own Daniel. Because, if I recall correctly, this is when he was fired from Disney, this is the first thing John Katzenberg did... To fuck you, Michael Eisner.
Well, when Jeffrey Katzenberg...
Jeffrey, yes.
...wasn't promoted and I forget the executive's name, but it was basically second in command.
Right.
The one had died in a helicopter crash, but Eisner brought in some from the outside, and Katzenberg's like, oh, screw you, I'm leaving, and I'm going to form my own movie studio with Blackjack and hookers.
Yeah.
And Steven Spielberg and David Geffen, and that was DreamWorks. And this wasn't the first DreamWorks animated movie. That was Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, I think Prince of Egypt was, or at least it was earlier.
I thought that was 20th Century Fox.
No, that was DreamWorks.
But Prince of Egypt was definitely earlier than this.
Yes, it was.
It was 98.
It was 3 years earlier. And I think this was another thing that they had in development, and Katzenberg just decided, you know what, this is perfect. I get to finally say fuck you to Michael Eisner.
Well, and if I may, I have two young kids in the house. Prince of Egypt is our Easter movie. Like, it's a Passover movie. It's a masterpiece. I'm not going to show them, you know, the torture porn that is Passion or Ten Commandments because it's 9.5 days long. And I love Ten Commandments, but no kid's going to sit through that. And you know what Prince of Egypt has?
Let my people go. Let my people go from my cold dead hands.
I mean, and Prince of Egypt has both Ralph Fiennes, Val Kilmer, and also... Martin Short and Steve Martin. It's got both Martins.
And if I recall correctly, Michelle Pfeiffer's in that movie.
And Sandy Bullock. It's a good movie, man. And Jeff Goldblum is his brother. Patrick Stewart is Seth. And Danny Glover is too old for that shit. He plays Jethro. See, that's the thing that...
That's a movie.
That's the movie. And the thing about this is, it's a pot joke. This is the first animated Best Picture winner.
Yeah?
Or sorry, Best Animated Picture winner. This did not somehow knock out, what is it, Beautiful Mind 2000? What won in 2000?
2001 was Beautiful Minds.
Okay. Hey, I remembered something for God's sake. Anyway.
It's also a nostalgic time for when Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz had careers.
And you know what the one that I'm saddest about? Cameron Diaz. Because of the three, of the big three in this is Eddie Murphy, Mike Myers, and Cameron Diaz. And they're all great together. I mean, Eddie Murphy took his career and shot himself in the foot.
Multiple times.
Exactly. Mike Myers is an asshole. No one has a bad thing to say about Cameron Diaz. She just, I hope it's that she just stepped away from Hollywood.
Basically, yes.
See, that's okay then. I just, if she wanted to do more, she's a great voice actress. She should do more if she wants to.
She probably won't, but I normally don't like her as an actor, but she was fine in this.
Hey, speaking of previous episodes, though, she was in one of your choices, The Mask.
She sure was.
And she's excellent in that, I think.
For what the role called for, yes.
It was her first on-screen role. I'll give her to that. I will also say this movie is also filled with other great people, including one of my personal favorite actors, John Lithgow!
Yes.
As Lord Farquaad, among others. I mean, we'll talk about them when they come up, but this movie is slammed end-to-end with fart jokes and also
talent, I guess.
It's a giant in-joke. That's the thing. This is more just a big Hollywood in-joke, and they added the fart so that kids would go watch it.
I mean, I don't know who this movie's for, but I saw it, so I guess it was for me at the time.
Well, the jokes work on two levels. Like, you know, when they finally meet the kingdom and Michael Eisner, Lord Farquaad, compensating for something. Is he short, or is something that's part of him short?
I think you just got the joke there, Matt.
And I appreciate how you explained it like Mr. Rogers would explain a fart joke to someone.
Hello, neighbor. Now, sometimes a man wants to compensate for something.
Could it be his penis? Who knows? Also,
I have a penis. It's a real special penis.
He wears a sweater.
I will also say, credit's due. It has world-class voice actor Jim Cummings in this, who is also the voice of Goofy, among other things.
And Darkwing Duck.
And Winnie the Pooh.
And Winnie the Pooh.
And also Vincent Cassell is in this.
He is?
As Monsieur Hood.
Oh, that... No.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, unprompted. I'm sure all of us saw it at around the same age and probably saw it multiple times. I saw it multiple times. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm upset with myself, but I'm not afraid to admit it. Is there a bit or a joke you remember from when you saw it the first time?
That was a dragon flirting with donkey. And then the Peter Pan joke, you know.
He said, "Donkey fly!" Did something. I can't do it. I can't do any Murphy.
That's not Peter Pan. It's Dumbo.
Oh.
You've seen a house fly, I've seen a dragon fly, but I've never seen a donkey fly. That's Dumbo.
Okay, you can do Eddie Murphy better. We're not.
I'm trying not to do an Eddie Murphy voice. Sunzi, do you have one you remember?
I remembered the fight scene between Hood's men and Fiona, and I remembered...
The Matrix scene.
Matrix scene. And, sheesh, what else did I remember from when I first saw this? Because I did see it in theaters, too. I guess I would have been 13, and... I remember the opening montage where Shrek, quote-unquote, goes fishing.
The one I'm going to do is the one I remember from the beginning, and I can do the whole thing since the beginning. Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man? The Muffin Man! Yes, I know the Muffin Man. And he lives on Drury Lane. Well, she's married to the Muffin Man. The Muffin Man? The Muffin Man!
I remember
that bit. I thought was so fucking funny, and I remembered it, and I remembered it. And you have to remember, this is a scene out of Saw or Passion of the Christ, something.
They had water cut off
both of its legs.
They had waterboarding before 9/11.
In a glass of milk, and then he walks up, Farquaad walks up, takes one of his, like, cut-off legs and grinds him in front of him. It is a scene and a half.
Well, and even as a song, you know, run, 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 as fast as... Oh, damn it, I just went full Charles Bronson.
Run. That wasn't Charles Bronson, that was more like, oh, fuck, who are you doing? Charles Bronson would be like, hey, Pally, run, 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 as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the ginger dead man.
Yeah.
Blammo. Kapow.
Stab, stab.
Stab, stab. I'm the stabber. Okay, so.
I remember Empire Magazine. Do you ever read them?
I did.
I remember them just absolutely loving this movie. And they, like, during their year-end roundup, they put so many, how Shrek was the best thing to come out that year. And the scene they highlighted was when the songbird explodes, which I also remembered.
Oh, dude. Dude, that scene is... again, two-thirds of the best jokes in this are fuck you, Disney.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Disney, every single time. And to its credit, we just talked... we've talked about a bunch of Disney movies in this era. This is a serious fuck you, Disney era. Really, I mean, I think 98 was Mulan, and that was the last one that was a movie. After that, there's not a whole bunch of movies in this. Anyway, so, who wants to give plot? I haven't done it in a while. I can do it.
Go for it.
So, long story short,
it's a movie. Long story short.
After taking a loud, viscous shit, Shrek is introduced to the fact that a bunch of fairy tale characters are being rounded up. And Shrek, being an ogre, is, and we'll get to how he got this role later.
Yeah.
Is somehow unbeatable. Now, the fact of the matter is, Lord Farquaad is essentially ethnically cleansing his town of far, far away. And because of this, they're rounding up all the, as they call them, fairy tale creatures. But Shrek is uncapturable. So rather than, say, get rid of Shrek, they're just dumping all them fairy tale creatures on his land. He gets pissed off, wants his land back, because he, I guess, is, you know, some Montana militia libertarian type. He's like, I want my land to myself. So he goes to Duloc. And what we've learned after several very masturbatory scenes is that, thanks to the magic mirror, Lord Farquaad realizes he has to find a princess to become a king. And we're given three princesses, Cinderella, Snow White, and Fiona. And we're going to pick Fiona because fuck you, Disney. And remember, whenever a decision is made in this, it's fuck you, Disney. We are reminded that he's masturbating because at one point, drinking a martini in bed, we get an erection joke as he watches a slow scene of Fiona. After a WWE wrestling scene, Donkey, played by Eddie Murphy, and now Shrek, played by Mike Myers, defeat all the champions, and Farquaad says, hey, buddy, guess what?
How long are we going to go until we mention that the main villain's name is Farquaad?
Yeah, I know. He's Farquaad. A Farquaad. He's a Farquaad. And he also looks like Michael Eisner.
Yes,
with
he does.
and so Farquaad here says, look, I'll get everyone off your land, and you can have your swamp free and clear if you rescue me a princess. That's the plot.
Yeah, and then he goes, and then shit happens.
Yeah, shit happens.
I gotta bring up the professional wrestling scene. At one point, a medieval peasant yells, use the chair!
That's right.
I mean, this is pure on, like, revenge-era WWE stuff, and it's awesome.
One question I have now in retrospect is, how many women did Shrek help get through puberty?
Oh, dude, I bet you it's like Sonic the Hedgehog. You're like, who masturbates to what now? There's a lot going on here.
Oh, there are definitely some Shrek stands.
We should mention here, too, I am always mixed on this story. So I'll tell you the story, which is that this is a little kid book, a very popular kid's book, which veers very much. It's the original the storybook, we don't have to get into the plot, but it's very much like a Rocky and Bullwinkle fractured fairy tale kind of thing. They start this movie into production years before it actually comes out. Like a lot of animated films are.
Oh, yeah.
But originally, Shrek, played straight, was being played by Chris Farley.
Oh, I wonder why he had to drop out.
Well, he dropped out.
Yes.
And then they tap Mike Myers. And then being like, and here's where the story gets, like, not conspiracy theory, but murky. This is where it gets murky. Part of, like, Mike Myers' story, which I can also believe, is he didn't want to church step on his buddy's legacy, so he had them redo more things so that no one could say this was a Chris Farley movie first.
Does Michael Myers have buddy? Mike Myers have buddies? I mean, I know that
Michael Myers has buddies too. It's just. But I mean.
Well, I mean, I know they were co-workers on Saturday Night Live back in the day, but I never got the sense. I mean, were they pals?
You never know what you've got till they die.
Well, but also, I don't feel like necessarily this was malicious because it's animated movie. Nothing ends up from the final. Like, when you did your storytelling of Disremembered, remember the Toy Story shit we talked about?
Oh, I remember.
But it's just, it takes a fucking forever. And this was their second picture. Like, so you could twist my arm and say, yeah, I get it. But at the same time, it also could be like him just saying, hey, Chris, thanks for this script. And I'd also believe it. Because it's Mike Myers, and he's a prima donna about everything at this time, especially. And then, unfortunately, this proved him right. The other thing we can't forget is that this movie not only spun off, I think there's four of them now, but there's also a Christmas special and a Broadway musical.
And a Halloween special, I think. And Nevermind Puss in Boots also comes from this franchise.
But that's for the sequel with a very saucy Antonio Banderas and, you know, stay the fuck too, because I love Antonio Banderas.
How can
and
you
even his voice is, I'm a puss in boots. And you're just like, it's too sexy, it's too sexy! Although I must unbutton another button.
No!
Yeah.
Fucking A. I love Antonio Banderas.
Yeah. Watch our old episode Mask of Zorro for more of this.
Fucking A, dude. Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's another sexy fucking vampire.
Like the Batman.
Anyway, so, literally, I know I keep saying this, but we literally start with Shrek taking a shit on the script.
This is like the fourth time you've mentioned it. And yes, it opens with like a Beauty and the Beast storybook where Shrek's reading it and it's like, oh yeah, screw this story. And then does indeed tear out a page and then leaves out. Yeah.
But then we have a montage of grossness. He bathes in mud. He writes a get out of here sign with a buggy. And that's it. Like, it's just gross upon gross upon gross. And then you realize the movie we're watching. I had forgotten how unsettling this is. I'm an adult listening to Captain Underpants stories with my daughter, and this is grosser somehow. And I love Captain Underpants. That movie's a masterpiece. Fuck you.
Didn't Weird Al do the theme to the movie?
They keep referencing Weird Al in the books, and he came up and said, you're right, I should do this soundtrack. Nick Kroll's in that is a great movie. Captain Underpants. Watched it yesterday.
Anyway. Also a DreamWorks animated movie. So, from the studio...
They do well!
From the studio that brought you Shrek comes Captain Underpants.
Tra-la-la! Hey, Matt, how are you doing? You good?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Let's talk about genocide. So,
yes.
We have a bunch of stormtroopers there wearing complete knight's armor... And people are selling their fairy tale creatures.
At one point, Geppetto is selling Pinocchio.
I'm a real boy!
In the nose.
I also like there's three fairies that are the fairies from Sleeping Beauty floating around. There's a crotchety old lady selling donkey. And she's like, he's like, I'm sorry, I'll stop talking. And she goes, I'm selling your ass. They do a lot of ass jokes.
I've got to save my ass. That comes a little later, yes.
And then they essentially Donkey refuses to talk. They grab Tinkerbell and shake her so Donkey starts to fly. And he goes, I'm a flying ass!
Now, was Eddie Murphy better in this or Mulan? Because it's kind of the same character.
He must have hated Disney to do this. Because remember, that was 98, I think it's
Yeah.
This is 2003. This might have been the next thing he recorded, because it takes forever to animate this shit. At the time, he was working for Disney, because those Dr. Doolittle movies were around here,
I thought that was 20th Century Fox. Don't they own the rights? Didn't they back in the day?
Oh, they may have, because I was like, they were on Disney Plus, but that's because now they own 20th Century Fox. Sorry, Matt, what were you saying?
I think I liked Mulan better. Because Eddie Murphy is still hilarious in this movie, but I think the dragon in Mulan was funnier.
I just kept expecting him to say, "I'm donkey, damn it!
I'm a donkey on the edge!"
Oh, that was a good one.
But yeah, so at this point we've got the three blind mice, we have the seven dwarfs.
The three bears from Goldilocks, one of whom ends up as a rug.
I was going to say, the mom ends up fucking dead.
Yes, and flayed.
Oh, God. As a bear rug, before we start seeing him jerking off, which is kids' movie. How the fuck does this all connect? Oh, yeah.
They all get ethnically cleansed and deported to Shrek's swamp. And they set up like a refugee camp.
Well, Shrek saves Donkey because Donkey's running away from the guards, and he hidelines Shrek, and that's where you get, "We're here to arrest you because you're a fairy tale
yeah,
creature."
And what honor me?
Really?
You and what honor me?
Yours is better. and so they scamper, and Donkey's like, "Oh, you know, thank you for saving me."
And he follows Shrek home.
Yeah,
I saw on Facebook, someone said, "It seemed like where Shrek saves Donkey and Donkey follows him home talking the entire time. Is that like having children?"
Well, yeah, but you don't have to usually save children to make them follow you.
This isn't Michael Jackson's house.
But
they're just ignorant. Don't be ignorant, Nick.
No, Fantasyland. Neverland.
He's dead. It's fine.
Okay. So somewhere around here we get another song. This soundtrack is fucked up, man. I don't know. It's an uneven soundtrack.
It's a lot of Smash Mouth.
And there's a lot of Eddie Murphy just singing random pop songs.
Because his girl likes to party all the time, don't you know?
Ugh.
Well, but we have, like,
okay,
the
Matt,
Eels,
you win.
We have the Baja Men in this, we have the Proclaimers.
So someone let the dogs out?
Wait, the Proclaimers? They're in this?
Yeah, they're in this.
I know Joan Jett was in it because her song's during the wrestling scene, but what did the Proclaimers do in this?
I'm
they
on
walked
my
500
way.
Miles.
Yeah. Wait, was that song in here?
Yeah, I'm on my way is on this. They also have Rufus, one of the Wainwright... Polygog or whatever they are, like the Wainwright family sings this.
Yeah, the whole sad misunderstanding montage song is Hallelujah, I think.
That's the third act. It's the Leonard Cohen song.
That one of the former frontmen of Velvet Underground sang.
Yeah, I mean it's Rufus Wainwright. Like there's a thousand Wainwrights and they're all incredibly talented.
When you want to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to thumb your nose at Disney, you can pay for the best.
Yeah, I'm just saying the funny part about it is incredibly uneven. That's all it is. I just feel like when you're switching between the Eels, Smash Mouth, and Rufus Wainwright, you don't know what you're doing.
Did we really need, though, in terms of in-jokes, a reference to the Pina Colada song?
No.
I'm glad
she likes... She likes pina coladas and getting stuck in the rain. Fine.
We're all fine.
Jokes for the parents, I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, but it wasn't really that funny if you get the joke.
I mean, this is the Family Guy emanation, right? Like, it just references other things, makes it a joke.
The second one was, and everybody seems to love that movie. I remember seeing that. I couldn't stand it because it was all just a bunch of references.
That was comedy at the time. Remember, millennials love references.
Like ogres have layers?
No, like Family Guy. We're just going to cut away to someone else's jokes. Zoomers love memes. If you can make a joke into a meme is all you need. That's it. You don't have to make puns. Dad jokes are for dead people.
That's but I'm alive, as far as you know.
We know you passed away 6 years ago, Matt.
I was going to say, how's the career going? That's what it is. We're making references. That's why our listeners are millennials. And anthropologists who are like, ah, the wild millennial in his habitat.
Oh, crikey.
Crikey. Three white guys with brown hair talking about references to other movies.
They've got avocado toast.
Blimey. How could you imagine a movie from 20 years ago making references to movies 10 years ago? Holy shit. I don't know if you could use the word holy shit in a journal article, but I'm willing to try.
Do it.
American Medical Association of History.
So we talked about how all the fairy tale creatures are dumped off at a Shrek swamp. They go to Farquaad's kingdom, which it's called Duloc, and he's apparently the lord of it. But what was he trying to become king of?
No idea.
I guess it's a prestige thing. In order to become a king, you have to marry a princess or something.
But what is he a king of? What country is he controlling?
Far, far away. It's the kingdom of far, far away.
Disney World?
He was already controlling
that.
So when they get to Duloc, which is it's Disneyland. We see a giant guy, wearing a giant Farquaad head, and it says at the gate, the wait is 45 minutes.
And there's no one in line.
No. And the guy wrote, what is very funny visual humor, Shrek is like, you're letting us in, right? And I can't do a Scottish accent. It's going to get worse. And the guy freaks out and starts running through the velvet ropes.
That's fucking funny.
Oh, yeah, because he's going through the entire line and Shrek's just walking.
Shrek just starts walking through it like he's fucking Jason Voorhees.
And then we actually get a good South Park joke because this is all over the place. I mean, the Duloc theme song reminded me so much of something that South Park would have done at the same time.
Right, and it's sung in the off harmonics of It's a Small World.
Yes.
And it's the rules of the park, and it's always that Miss Mary Mac kind of da-da-da-da-da, where it's almost a dirty word, but they don't say the dirty word.
Wipe your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it rhymes with ass. That's the joke, which, you know, kind of, well, Matt did what they do, which is they dance around the fact that there's a joke there. But they even have little puppets that look like it's the Small World dudes. But they look around, they're like, where the fuck is everyone?
Again, fuck you, Disney.
Fuck you, Disney. This is a fuck you, Disney. And it even looks like Main Street USA, fuck you, Disney. And the whole thing, they look around, they're like, where is everyone? And it says, information, pull here. And they go, come into our world, it's a happy place. I don't even know the words.
Duloc is a perfect place.
And that was about as good as the dolls, the singing little robots were singing.
And then at the end, Donkey goes, wow, let's do it again. And Shrek says, abso-fucking-lutely not, and grabs him by the tail, which is the right response.
Which I believe is also when they hear the trumpet call for the tournament, and then Shrek just shows up and beats everyone
in a wrestling match. It's hilarious.
Yeah, they do WWE here. What about a paint?
No. All righty.
And then he takes it for the team, and then he knocks out the keg. I mean, and again, I will say, just as a whole, the animation is not... The character design and the depth is not good for me. There's the one character I think they spent real time on is Fiona as an ogre. Because even the character versions, all the humans to me look like you're watching a bad Barbie Netflix show.
Overall, I think the animation holds up because 3D animation ages much faster than 2D animation does. But what got me was just everyone's teeth.
Ooh.
That all looked like, okay, we've got this great detail of Shrek in his clothes, and then he smiles, and it looks like he's got a PlayStation 2 graphics in his mouth.
I mean, hey, I'm not going to disagree with you there, because I think the teeth are weird, and they show a lot of teeth. A lot of teeth. But for your point, this is the same year that Monsters, Inc. came out.
Ooh.
2 years before was Toy Story 2.
Yeah, and those hold up better.
And so to me, I'm just saying, like, The backgrounds here don't have depth. The characters don't have a lot of texture. Fiona's ogre side, I think they spent time on because they wanted to make it still look like the Cameron Diaz character. But the rest of it is just... It looks like... A lot of it looks like bad PS2 graphics. But that's not what they should be basing this on anyway. I think the original Toy Story has trouble. But that's why they keep it all toys. Because they can say, hey, this looks plastic because it's a plastic character. But that was also 6 years before this. So, you know, this is sub-Bug's Life.
Yeah.
This is sub-Ants.
Let's not say things we can't take back.
What are you talking about? It's one of my best movies of the
21st century.
What, Ants?
For Woody Allen?
Oh, for Woody Allen. Well.
It's that in Paris.
Well, Ants came out like in 98, I think. It was the same year as A Bug's Life. It was.
Oh, 98. You're right. So.
Yeah, no. That's not good.
I was just thinking that voicing a neurotic ant would be a big challenge for me.
And I could do it because my love interest was 40 years younger.
Suri loves kids' movies.
That's
true. Why do you sound like Christopher Walken?
That was Woody Allen.
I know that.
Oy. Anyway, so getting away from those sex jokes to other sex jokes. So he set off to rescue Fiona from...
The highest room in the tallest tower, and there's dragon guarding her, and...
In the Legend of Zelda level. It's just floating above a caldera, which is something. Donkey's afraid of lava for, like, a third of a second, and then Shrek tricks him to cross the Rainbow Bridge.
Donkey at times is kind of a weird Greek chorus who's just there to point out how dumb Shrek is.
I think Eddie Murphy is the one who should have gotten paid more. I don't know if that's how it ended up, but... He's the one who tells you everything.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, he's the one who makes the story go. I bet you he has twice as many lines as Mike Myers. Easy.
I imagine he was improvising a lot more than Mike Myers was.
Probably.
Because they trusted him. I don't know. I just, based on what I've heard, and based on a movie we probably will have to do, but I don't want to, The Guru Pitka... trusting him with jokes is just a bad idea. But like, I mean, we'll get there, but like at one point he gets shot in the ass by one of Robin Hood's merry men, and the voice acting is great. Like, he literally can do it. He just, it's as though,
I mean, I guess we'll get there one day, but Cat in the Hat, when he doesn't want to show up, he doesn't show up. And that's the shame.
We need to do Cat in the Hat.
Do we? Yeah, we do. I saw it in theaters.
Oh, I remember when everybody was hyping that movie up, and like Good Morning America had like the props on one morning, and everyone was so excited, and then it came out, and...
And I forget if it was him or Jim Carrey, but like I remember a thing when they were talking about what it was like to wear the suit and how to do, like, how they like meditate, because it's like very claustrophobic in one of those whole body suits. And, like, it's just, it's a lot. And then I watched that movie because
I guess I had nothing better to do with my life at that age. You know?
Did any of us? I mean, that's why we're here now.
I had a girlfriend. I could have done anything.
Ah.
It's a lot of wasted life. It's a lot of wasted life. But
so there I was in a movie theater watching The Cat in the Hat.
As an adult. Or as a teenager. And I was just like... Picture there's some jock getting laid or something.
Anyway. So speaking of getting laid, we rescue the princess in what really does feel like we're watching Lord of the Rings or something. Like, they're just running through a bunch of balustrades.
I love how they had the Canterbury Tales reference during this scene where the dragon falls in love with Donkey, and it turns into a whole Looney Tunes thing where, like, you know, some animal falls in love with bugs and he's trying to back away. That's basically what's going on here.
Oh, it's Pepe the Pew bit.
Yeah.
Donkey flirts with the dragon to avoid being eaten, and the dragon falls for it hard. Oh, you want a lady dragon?
Of course you a girl dragon. But
that's right.
Anyway, the Canterbury Tales bit comes where she's trying to kiss Donkey, and then Shrek swings down and then kicks Donkey out of the way, so the dragon ends up kissing Shrek's ass.
Yeah, it's a Miller's Tale joke. And Shrek, I mean, so we've got shit jokes, barf jokes, dick jokes, and now a rim jog joke. So
brought to you by Chaucer, so hey, maybe this movie's smarter than we thought.
That's right. I didn't remember her having a beard, if I recall the Miller's Tale correctly.
Yes.
Classics. Culture. Are you sure we should be telling this to the kids? It's all right, Rizzo. It's culture. Thank you, Gonzo. Thanks, Gonzo. Anyway. And so they run out of the castle. Again, this feels like Ocarina of Time or something. Right? Like, you're running away as the capsule collapses, and pow! The princess. At this point, they slide down a hill, and Shrek reveals that he's an ogre.
Yep.
And Fiona's kind of disgusted.
He was wearing a knight's helmet through the entire thing.
That's right.
So she didn't see his face.
Very Breath of the Wild. You pick up armor as you go. they say we're returning you to Farquaad. And then we enter the second act, which is more romantic.
It's a romantic comedy, complete with the whole thing getting derailed by misunderstandings.
That's right. So, I mean, the jokes along here are, as we go through the woods early on, she's at first kind of, well, I mean, she's a bitch. She wants to fall in love. The person who rescued her is not the person who's going to free her, so she wants to go back to the castle. But we don't know yet. There's a curse involved, so she's acting loudly but rationally.
Well, she wants to get inside before the sun goes down, and is quite demanding about it.
The whole thing is, the plot contrivance is that if anyone talked to each other, there's no plot. So we're going to keep everything a secret so we can get to the third act.
So that's called the idiot plot, I
believe. Yeah, it's like the 70s horror movie where, like, if only we had cell phones, but this is just people not talking to each other.
Also known as the Star Wars Episode 3.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's everything. It's silly. Long story short, as we're approaching the third act, like Daniel said, she wants to get out of the... She wants to go to bed. She wants to camp for the night rather than walking all night. We don't know why at this point. But lying under the stars, Shrek is pointing out to Donkey all the constellations. And on pointing out the constellations, Shrek gets to, like, you know... People look at me and they don't understand things. It's, if there's a moral to this story, it's this. Right? You need to... you know, appearance doesn't matter. It's what's on the inside, yada, yada.
In other words,
the onions metaphor.
In other words, it's the same children's story that's existed since time immemorial.
Well, we got to point a tent pole somewhere, Daniel. This is all we've got.
Well, this is also the segment where we get Robin Hood showing up.
And I did not, next morning.
I did not know that was Vinny Cassell.
But we also have... she wakes up early to make breakfast for him, and this is where she has her blowing up the bird.
Well, she just wakes up early and then starts singing, and the bird blows up, and she finds, oh, hey, there are eggs here. And then she cooks the eggs.
And once they start moving on, that's where we get the Robin Hood Men in Tights scene. And this, I say Robin Hood Men in Tights because it's literally a song about how they're Robin Hood and the Men in Tights.
Yeah. And they're French.
Robin Hood was supposed to be, I guess. So, kind of, no, not at all. This is just a horny man joke. This is the Pepe Le Pew joke.
Yeah, a horny French man doesn't quite understand the word no.
That's right. And and the game is, at first, he's saving her from Shrek. And then, like, he's going to make a move, and she says no. And then he gets a sword pulled on her by person X, one of the merry men. After a weird rap scene.
I'm pretty sure it was Robin Hood that pulled the sword on Shrek saying, I'm prepared to strike!
No, but someone then pulls a sword on her for when she kicks Robin Hood's ass.
Ah.
And then we have, this is the Matrix joke. We even have the bullet time. We have her kicking everyone else's ass. And Shrek goes, you know, that was amazing.
And she goes, well, when you have time on your hands, what are you going to do?
So this is secret foreshadowing to Old Boy. She was locked up for much time, she learned how to fight.
Dogtooth. the village.
Well, Dogtooth, I mean, wouldn't really count because that's more just about...
Holy shit, it's the monster in the sky! Right.
I've been locked up so long by my parents, I don't know what sex is. That's Dogtooth.
Better hire some college girls. Or whatever that movie is. It's been a while, but yeah.
It is a very weird movie.
Also, The Village. Stay tuned. I saw that in theaters. Oof. M. Night Shyamalan's The Village?
I'll give that movie credit. There's a very few movies that actually scare me.
That scared you?
The scene with when they go into the closet with a monster suit.
Oh, fuck yeah. That is scary.
And when Adrian Brody is chasing Bryce Dallas Howard through the woods in the monster suit.
Yeah. You're right. Not backing up. The second you said that, I was like, oh, yeah. The movie's a mess, and it takes too long to get where it's going, but those scenes,
fucking perfect.
Stay on. We haven't done any M. Night Shyamalan yet.
Okay, I could swear we did an episode on The Village.
No, that's shocking that we haven't done any of Mr. Shabima Mimalon stuff.
we were going to do it. But then we decided to do streaming stuff, which is why we've done the stuff so far. Since February, I think everything we've done has been streaming at the time. So no one paid for any of this stuff. It's all streaming. But we might just have to bite the bullet. Maybe next Halloween, for October, we'll do all M. Night movies.
I think we should also do the Shrek Halloween special. Where would that even be?
Disney Plus? Wait,
no. I mean, right now, everything Shrek is on Netflix. Now it might not be, but...
Yeah, it probably isn't by the time you listen to this, because it was supposedly leaving, but...
Well, but Netflix is also leaking money like a sieve at this point, so who knows? Can you imagine being Netflix and fucking it up so bad? Like, truly, like, honestly, you created the whole thing. Everything. And you're like, you know what we need to do? Invest $1 billion in this nonsense rather than just say, I'm just going to replace Blockbuster and just be the repository for all the movies you want to see. It's like HBO Max.
Some of the original content is really good, like Enola Holmes.
Hell, we were just watching Inside Job before this. That's very funny. Disenchantment is very funny. But the thing is, those cost hand and shoulder over what you're doing.
Yeah, the original content just isn't doing it anymore.
I mean, and I love Mystery Science Theater. They never advertised that shit. How much stuff have they made that they didn't even bother to advertise?
Didn't they just cancel another show? Well, they've canceled a lot lately.
I mean, Take a Knife to My Heart. They were the fifth studio that tried to make a Bone animated series based on the graphic novel series, and they canceled that. Motherfucker. Poor guy. And he's been trying to make that for 20 years. And you know what? Bone is incredible. I love Bone.
Oh, poor thing.
I remember that was in Disney Adventures.
What?
Bone.
The comic book, the magazine. Disney Adventures.
Yeah.
Well, it's never going to be made now, unfortunately. So we haven't even gotten to the raw dogging.
Don't you mean raw donkeying?
Yeah, no kidding. So at this point... After kicking Robin Hood's ass, it looks like everything's going forward. But as they get to the nearby, they see Duloc and the giant erection that is the tower. Starts like they're so in love that they don't want to get there yet.
Right. There's a big montage of them like blowing up amphibians and giving them to each other as balloons.
Yeah.
And at one point, Fiona makes Shrek some cotton candy of spider webs and flies. And my Twitter commentary is, you sure know how to treat an ogre right.
Yeah, it's gross. It's all gross. And as they're falling more and more in love, they stall for the night by saying Donkey looks injured. And again, Eddie Murphy...
He looks sick.
He goes, I wasn't going to say anything, but what am I going to do this with my neck? And he turns his neck at a fucking 75-degree angle, and you hear it pop, and he can't straighten his neck out. And he goes... And they're like, well, that settles it. We'll stay here for the night. And Donkey's like, I need a hug. And you're just like, well, again, fucking mailing the jokes from across the country, and they're still funny.
You cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me real deep.
Oh.
Another nice little donkeyism.
You cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me real deep. God. Give this man a job.
I mean, this is where Donkey finds out about Fiona's curse, where she turns into an ogre after sundown.
Yeah. So they have an argument, kind of, sort of. It's not really an argument. But then Donkey's like, Fiona, we need to talk. And she falls through the floor.
And it's that she's a donkey. And he goes, oh my God, an ogre ate Fiona. Stan, don't go through the light.
Shrek!
And it turns out that she has a curse that, with a child's poem, at night she turns into a monster, and then true love's kiss will make her take her true form.
Now, did they ever explain who put this curse on her and why?
Yes, the plot did.
Okay.
Tragically. You know.
It's called sequels, right? We'll get there, yeah.
Each sequel is bustier than the last.
Correctly.
It was the Reagan era. People were doing blow. I mean, anything could have happened.
Now, I also have another question. How many young men do you think Princess Ogre Fiona got through puberty?
Well, you haven't even seen the Fairy Godmother yet, which we'll get to. But, you know, generally when they illustrate people, except for Esmeralda in Disney movies, they're fairly modestly chested. Ogre Fiona is crazy boobed. Like, they make an effort here.
So she's a thick girl, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I want you to describe that for the audience.
She's stockier and more heavily built and has cleavage.
If I can help you out here, Matt, I would say that she's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty, and just letting it all hang out. That's probably the best description of Princess Fiona I can get. I mean, they do a good job of the character design. She still looks like Fiona, just same face and eyes and everything, but it's just she's now an ogre, and it's actually really well done.
Well, that's what I was saying, like, before. Like, Shrek has one model look, which, I mean, it's fine. He needs the one. But, like, for her, I feel like that's where the most effort was made. Like, it's really hard to do to have a character transform like that and still recognize her. And they do the character thing where they give her the same outfit, and everything she wears is made out of spandex, and it doesn't Hulk out, which would have been a funny joke at one point, but they abstained. Fine. But they do it, and she looks great. She decides eventually, because Shrek overhears Donkey talking about how, you know, some people are ugly. She says people are ugly and they can't be loved, and she's referring to herself, but, you know, you have a classic second act misunderstanding.
Yeah, well, Shrek overhears her and thinks she's talking about him, and so the next morning...
Ach! She's talking about me!
Well, after that, he just basically goes, gets Farquaad in the middle of the night, and then hands Fiona over to him.
This, to me, is my favorite joke that I remember the whole time. Which is Farquaad, whose head looks like Michael Eisner's with a skull, reminder, shows up and goes,
I've come to take you back to my castle. You know, he's saying
the very chivalrous nonsense, you know, like, that sounds romantic, but it really isn't kind of stuff. And then a knight, standing on the back of another knight, takes him out of his harness, which is just, like, giant boots and greaves. But he's actually a tiny man with a huge head.
Yes.
It reminds me of Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Very much. But like, the whole time, like, it's in the midst of Fiona fawning all over him. Like, oh, Sir Knight, I thank you for coming and sending this warrior in Shrek to... And then they pick him up and she trails off in the middle of her sentence.
They were making short jokes about him before... Well, the audience had been revealed what his height was, but Shrek didn't know. They were still making short jokes, though, and then we see again.
Because they're going, like, men like him are in short supply?
Yeah, but they'd never seen him. Like,
they have seen him.
Not up close, though. He was on a balcony.
That's right. He was on a balcony. That's fair. But it's just... Even Donkey has a lot, like... Shrek says he's compensating for something. I think that means he has a small and they slam him. Because this joke is There was a version of the script that's like PG-13.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Easy.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there is. It'd be interesting to read that script, but this is really
this is what we're stuck with.
This is really where the short jokes start getting piled on.
There was a scene. Because at this point he's like, don't worry, we'll be married tomorrow. She goes, let's get married now, and he goes, you're in for my can of Progresso soup.
It's an erection joke, you see.
Yes.
Okay.
I understand what erections are, and I understand jokes about
them. I've heard
of an
erection, yes. I've read about it in books.
And
children's stories about ogres. And so they decide to have a quickie, let me try that again.
They do.
A quickie wedding.
Elvis is going to be the priest.
Thank you
very much.
And this is where we get the hallelujah montage.
Yeah, because Shrek is sitting around being miserable, Fiona's being miserable, and Donkey hooks up with Dragon again.
Well, he walks off sadly because Shrek thinks that they're colluding, so he's like, go away, Donkey! I don't love you anymore! Just get out of here! Which is a John Lithgow line.
Yeah.
Instead, given by Mike Myers. One day we'll do Harry and the Hendersons.
Ah. John Lithgow's great in this movie.
Get out of here, Harry! Nobody wants you anymore! Just go!
He does such a good job making Farquaad sound like an asshole just with his voice.
Dude, Farquaad is perfect. I have no notes on the character. Like, he's really good, and he delivers everything perfectly. Ah, you're as beautiful as I saw you in the mirror. I was perving out on you. Like, he nails it. He knows what he's doing, and eventually, we're there. Pulling out his best James Brown impression, Donkey says, you do realize she loved you, right? You're just being an asshole. Don't just carve up the swamp. We need to save your girl because she loves you. And they go up to the chapel and he goes, wait, you can't just bust it now. You gotta wait for the line.
One does not simply walk into Farquaad's chapel.
He took out this note card. And he said that line, and then he put down the note card.
I did.
It's like he prepared. But they're literally outside, like, Notre Dame. Like, there's this giant, like, wall.
Yeah.
And he's like, you gotta wait for the line. What line? He goes, the minister says, if anyone has a reason, these two should not wed. And then you run and go, I object! And they wait so long, they miss that part. Which is funny.
Well, he's trying to toss Donkey up to a window so they can see what's going on, but yeah. Donkey's up there so little time that he can't tell. So he's like, oh, damn, I think they already said it.
And he lets him fall. He paralyzes Donkey. And then Shrek runs in and goes, I object! And Farquaad has the line, which is incredible. Oh, it has feelings, which is perfect. He's an asshole, but he delivers the lines flawlessly.
Have you ever seen those, Brian De Palma movies where John Lithgow's the main villain?
Oh,
like,
totally. I mean, we did one this year, the season, Ricochet, where he's fighting Denzel Washington.
Yes.
And he plays he's fucking unhinged. I mean...
Or Cliffhanger.
Oh, Cliffhanger as well. I wish he had more roles, like, because he's over the top. What if Shakespeare was evil? And you're just like, fuck yeah, John.
He made a great Giuliani on Colbert.
He did. So at this point, like, Shrek runs down the aisle and objects to the wedding, and everyone is astounded and stunned. And then the dragon shows up and he gets Richard Schiff like in Lost World. He gets lawyered in Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Like the dragon comes down, flips him up, and eats the fucker and belches out the
crown. Well, the crown that he put it on himself, I guess in a Napoleon reference about saying, I'm king because technically we're married.
And he's gonna lock up his wife.
And Donkey's like, I'm a donkey on the edge.
Dude, he fucking I mean, it becomes a Bronte story. This is Jane Eyre at the end. Like, he has his wife locked away, and then the plot shows up in the form of fire. And it's awesome. Shrek kisses her on the altar. Everyone cheers. I do like the ongoing joke. It's from the wrestling scene. It happens again. But people in Duloc have no emotions unless they're on cue cards.
which is funny. That's a good joke. And so they kiss. She shoots up into the sky. The magic is happening. And if you've ever seen a movie before, you know how this is going to end.
Which is that, of course, Fiona's true form, because this was the kiss that is supposed to break the curse, is the ogre version of her.
I will say a joke that I liked is as she goes up, she shoots like light from her fingers and it shatters all the windows except for one that's just Farquaad, and the dragon elbows yeah. and shuts it. It's good. It's funny. And she goes, oh, I wanted to be beautiful. And Shrek goes, I think you're beautiful.
But you are beautiful. I can't do that
and then
line.
And then he just starts plowing her, which I thought was a lot for an animated movie.
Oh, yeah. There's like a 30-minute DeviantArt gif right here.
Well, and it's, you know, and it's actual penetration, which, you know, if you're going to be artistic about it, you might as well go for. But it was a lot.
Yeah, it was. It was a little over the top. I mean, I'm not sure if they needed to redo the butter scene from Last Tango in Paris, but there we go.
And Donkey has a camcorder.
Yes.
Well, and that's why the only directors they would interview when they did the Broadway version was the people who had done Hair. So they knew what it was like to do nudity on stage. But you want authenticity if you're going to do this, right?
I guess.
And so after
there's no penetration.
Except for on 4chan, 8chan,
yeah,
Reddit.
I'm sure you can find some on the internet somewhere, but in the context of the movie, after the transformation, we cut to the ending, which is another wedding montage.
In which Eddie Murphy is singing the Monkees song, and then I saw her face.
Didn't Neil Diamond write that song?
I thought it was originally the Monkees.
They performed it, but I thought he wrote it.
He may have. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it was also performed by Smash Mouth, and this, so nothing matters.
Yeah,
the seven dwarfs are Smash Mouth, and they're singing.
Except for the one that's dancing with, I think it's supposed to be Cinderella.
I think you're right.
So is he the eighth dwarf horny?
Well, speaking of, when they're doing the dating game version of the magic mirror, she goes, Snow White, she lives with seven guys, but that doesn't mean she's easy. was the joke. That was the joke. Control save nailed it. Dusting off something I haven't said in 7 years.
Also kind of a fuck you, Disney, because Michael Eisner was the guy who wants to be a millionaire on ABC.
That's totally true. It's just Katzenberg had so many axes to grind, and it won him an Academy Award. Which reminds me, my high school journal is I'm just calling it Doug the Musical. Now, it's up for 17 Grammy Award.
I can't imagine Jeff Katzenberg here. It's so great.
Because, you know, he was just there, like, make it look more like Eisner. Fuck you, Disney. Like, let's make a Dumbo joke right here. Fuck you, Disney.
He sits on a throne of spite. And yes. It made him rich.
And it won him an Academy Award. I don't know what to tell you. Hey, Steven, this one's for you. Look, it's a Jurassic Park reference. Eat it up, bitch. Like, it's just, it's such a vicious movie.
It's full of in-jokes.
They do the Macarena in the credits. I don't know what to tell you.
They do.
I don't know what to tell you. And that's 8 years too late for that one.
Yeah, because I remember the 1996 Democratic Convention and nothing to do with it. They did the Macarena the whole time.
1996 was a weird time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bob Dole tried to do the Macarena at the RNC, but he broke his arm after he tried the first motion.
Good job. Nothing. White supremacists blew up a park downtown. I don't know what to tell you.
Bob Dole.
They weren't white supremacists.
Bob
they
Dole
were Christians.
Is up on the fandom of the youth today. Bob Dole likes to do the Macarena.
The Macarena. That would have been right.
Yeah.
How well he related to people. Ha 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 ha.
That's an election 6 years before this came out. 5 years before this came out.
Yep.
All right. Final thoughts, Matt.
This is definitely worth seeing. I don't remember it being as funny. It was sorry, brain spaz. It was not as funny as I remember it, but it's still pretty funny. And the more you know about Disney, the funnier it gets because you realize what they're making fun of.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, I have fond memories of seeing this movie. I still think it holds up relatively well. I think Disney's rebounded, and they're making better animated movies now. But I do appreciate all the in-jokes, because that's what saves this movie, watching it as an adult. It's like, ha-ha-ha-ha, I understood that reference, because I'm Steve Rogers, of course. And unless, if you're a kid, though, watching it these days, I'm not sure how much you'd like it outside of, you know, watching Shrek fart.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Daniel here. To me, it's a knife's edge between being, like, a scary movie, not like a horror movie, but like the serious scary movie or Naked Gun or something, and being an actual movie. Because it's so referential, like, it's so fuck you, Disney, that it doesn't feel like a movie at times. And part of that is by how uneven it feels. Like, when they're all sad with each other, they play Alleluia, which is, I mean, it's Rufus Wainwright instead of, you know, the original John Prine song. No. But it's,
it was Leonard Cohen who wrote the song, and John Cale performs it in this
movie.
No,
it's Rufus Wainwright.
He does?
Yeah.
Huh.
But, I mean, that's the thing. 1,000 people have done it. I'm sorry, you're right. It's not John Prine. It's Leonard Cohen. It's the other Jewish guy who gets credit for everything. But
Oy gewalt.
It's a beautiful song that comes out of nowhere because it's followed by the Eels and Smash Mouth. Like, the whole thing feels like it's herky-jerky nonsense. In fact, if anything, it's impressive how it holds it all together. I don't know how it won Best Animated Picture against Monsters, Inc., which I think is a better movie. But I don't hate this movie. I just, nowadays, I don't know who it's for. It's like Daniel said, other than, and Matt said too, other than the fart jokes and the literal shit jokes, at one point, not only do we see him wiping his ass with the script, but he farts so hard he kills all the fish and then eats one of them. And you're just like, okay, we're introducing his character and he's a shit boy. What else do we got? Fine. The rest of this movie, though, is uneven, making him a character but not really changing him, and Donkey being the only humanity, and I don't know. I think this movie is fine. I think it's funny. I think it's okay for us. And the best jokes that land are Disney jokes or references to Mel Brooks movies.
I don't know if kids this age have seen any of that.
They made 4 more of these, or 3 more of these.
I guess we'll see.
So if you liked us covering this, let us know in the credits. Let us know however you let us know things. Maybe we'll do another one next season. But I gotta tell you, I probably enjoyed this more than any of the,
I don't know, high school listeners we have.
I mean, you guys can watch this shit, but I don't know if you'd get, I mean, the things you'd get are the fart jokes, which are not the strongest part of this movie, so I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, thanks for telling us good things online, thanks for following us on Twitter. I mean, there's 9,000 of you who follow me on Twitter, so, you know, keep following us. If you haven't, follow Matt and Daniel, because Matt will kind of, as he said before, kind of secretly leak the things we're watching, because he lives tweets them. And he's does a he has a very Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo way of doing that for you, so follow that along. In the meantime,
at Matthew W. Quinn.
Thank you. In the meantime, you know, find us doing our shit when we do our shit. And I guess listen to Required Reading, follow Daniel on Popdos and all of his publications, and look up the Matt Quinn page on Amazon and get some of that stuff too.
Matthew W. Quinn on Amazon.com. Make me enough money that I can make a giant movie that's all my axes to grind. And it will be brilliant.
Let Matt grind your axe.
Oh, my.
Thanks, guys. I heard there was a better show.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Sir Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.
You know, somebody once told me the world was going to roll me.
Because you ain't the sharpest tool in the shed?
Dude, that bitch was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.